The optometrist, many of us have been there. It's the eye doctor, amen? And you go to the optometrist and they check your visions. And I remember different times having to go. And sometimes they put that big machine on you and they flip those little glasses. And then other times they put those little drops in your eye. And how many of you ever got the puff before, the little glaucoma check there? You know, they do that at the optometrist. And we could say this, he checks your vision and he makes corrections. Amen? That's what an optometrist does. I remember going in at one point and I was having headaches. I was getting headaches consistently and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, of course we're fatalists. I thought, I've got a tumor, Brother Jim. I just know it. I'm getting these headaches and no, he said, no, your prescription just changed a little and you need a little more on this eye. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. You know what this book is? It is a spiritual optometrist, isn't it? It checks us out. It checks our vision. And if we allow it to, it makes corrections in our lives. Let me just give you, if I could tonight, and I'll not preach long. I know we've got the business at hand, but I think the preaching, amen, is prominent. I want to talk to you four things about vision tonight. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, we need to have a firm vision. A firm vision. It says here in verse number 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. So why do we need to have a firm vision? Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you why. Because the people perish if we don't have a firm vision. Amen. And I got to looking at that vision. It talks about the proclamation of truth. And I'm so glad, ladies and gentlemen, that we have a church that we can go to where thus saith the Lord is proclaimed as what it is. Amen. And that's the authority of God. By the way, there's so many churches where you hear a bunch of sermonettes. And listen, I'm not interested in sermonettes or homilies. I'm interested in preaching the Word of God. Amen. And listen, I thank God that you as a church body enjoy preaching. But I can tell you this, no vision leads to shame. If you look back in verse number 15 of our text, we see something there. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why so many children are going astray is because so many pulpits are vacant of vision. Vision of God, preaching the Word of God without apology or compromise. No vision will bring shame. No vision, I'll tell you what else it'll bring. It'll bring self-exaltation when there's no vision. You know, there was no vision in the days of Judges. And you know what happened? Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Do you know why? Listen, a man can pull a baby out of a womb, puncture his skull, and suck the very brains and life right out of it. I'll tell you why. Because self is exalted and he's his own God. He's his own God. Why? I'll tell you why. Because there is no vision. There's no vision. And when there's no vision, there's shame. There's self-exaltation. I'll tell you what else there is. There's sin running amok. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, and kind. Go all the way down the list. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That is 2012. Why? No vision. No preaching. No proclaiming. No vision. So a firm vision. We have to have a firm vision. Why a firm vision? Because the people perish. What is a firm vision? Let me just tell you what a firm vision is from this book. It's the old paths. It's the old paths. It's old time fundamental Christianity. Amen. Can we say this? We need to have a vision of God. We need to, listen, God is not our buddy. Amen. God is not the man upstairs. Forgive me for even saying that. Amen. God's not some paternal grandpa up there. He's high and holy and righteous, and we need a vision of him again. We need a vision of who he is. You know, when Isaiah caught a vision of God, you know what he said? Woe unto me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, you get a vision of God, you'll see yourself for what you really are. Not quite as important as we think. Amen. Well, we need vision. We get a vision of God. Can we say this? We need a vision of what the church can be. Amen. What the church ought to be. The church is not just some, by the way, I'm for things like softball and volleyball. I enjoy those things. But I'm going to tell you, we need to have a vision of the church growing, reaching people, winning souls, discipling people, putting people in the tank. Amen. A vision of what the church could be. A vision of not only what the church could be, a vision of God. Can I say this? A vision for people. I'm glad for pews. I'm glad for carpet. I'm glad for people that clean pews and carpet. I'm glad for people that buy hymnals. I'm glad for pianos. I'm glad for organs. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. Why? Because He saw vision. He had vision. Oh, that God would give us vision. Not just as a church, but as individuals. Amen. God would give us vision. We need to have a firm vision. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, as long as Pastor Rich is a pastor, it's King James Bible. It's soul winning. Amen. It's reaching people. It's preaching. Firm vision. Not only a firm vision, we need to have a forward vision. A forward vision. Go over with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. I enjoy teaching, but I love to preach. Amen. Philippians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 13. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." We'll talk about that a little bit later. If Paul hadn't arrived, none of us has either. Amen. "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know what, ladies and gentlemen? We need to have a forward vision. Can I say this? And I say this reverently because many of you are in the room when this building was built and you were here for the first service. I am glad for everybody that sacrificed and sweated and laid bricks and all that. But ladies and gentlemen, that was 1967, and it's gone. It's 45 years ago, and you know what we need? We need forward vision. Forward vision. Vance Havner said this, "The problem with the present is it's never as good as it used to be." Amen. Sometimes, and by nature, I'm a nostalgic person. I enjoy nostalgia. But I want to tell you, sometimes nostalgia looks at the past through rose-colored glasses. Brother Max and I was up praying with Brother Max today, and we were talking about that, and just about the medical magnificence in 2012. I said, my grandfather had cataracts in the 70s, and you know what they said? Too bad. That's what they said. They couldn't get in there and do the things that they do. Now they run a laser through your eye. Hey, thank God for that. Amen. Thank God there's some forward progress in the medical field. Hey, you know what we ought to have, ladies and gentlemen? We ought to have a forward vision. Not what was, but what can be. Forward vision. Can I say this? We must not look back. One of the shortest verses in the Bible is Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. Why? Because she looked back. She was so preoccupied looking back after God said not to. Hey, you know what we have a tendency to look back at? We have a tendency to look back at forgiven sins. Don't we have a tendency to want to drag those things back up? And the devil uses them and gets under our skin. We also have a tendency to look back at faithless defeats, times where we let God down, and God's already forgiven us of that, and God's already gone forward. And as Dr. Malone used to say, that's behind the back of God. Amen. But sometimes we bring it up. We know what else we bring up? I'll tell you what we bring up. We bring up fossilized conflicts. You say, what's that? That's some fight you had 5 years ago, and it caused you to get bitter, and you keep bringing it up. And I'll tell you, God wants to heal you with that, but you keep tearing the scab off. And you keep tearing the scab off a wound, and it stays fresh. We look back at forgiven sins and faithless defeats, fossilized conflicts. You know what else we look back at? Fruitful successes. And I'll tell you what that does. It leads to pride. Well, I used to win souls. Well, I used to serve God with all my heart. Well, I used to give to missions. I used to be sold out. Hey, listen, our God is not in the used to business. Forward thinking. What are you going to do for God now? Not 10 years ago. Forward vision. Firm vision. Number 3. Focused vision. Go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter number 9 in your Bibles, please. I always want to be polite. I do that sometimes. Go there, amen. I shouldn't say that. I should say, please turn in your Bibles, amen. I want to be polite. I've got a 3-year-old in the back that listens every word I say, and I don't want him to say, Lukey, go there, amen. Focused vision. Focused vision. Look at verse number 62 of Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9, it says, And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Samuel Bringle said this, The tendency of a fire is to go out. And can I say that? So it is with vision. You know, vision dims with age. You know the story in the Bible about Isaac. You remember how Jacob and Rebekah tricked him. Why? Because his vision was dim. Vision, and I learned this, Brother Mark, looking at small aircraft parts for all those years. Vision dims with neglect. You read 1 Samuel chapter number 3, and you find a time when Eli was a priest, and there was no open vision, and ere the lamp of God went out that was never supposed to go out. Why? Neglect. So age will dim it, neglect will dim it. Luke chapter 9 verse 62 gives us a great illustration of focus. Some of you old farmers, you know the importance, if you're hoeing a row, you have to be focused right there. You have to pick out a point and focus on that and say, I'm going right for that point. You know what happens if you look back? That's a crooked row. Hey, listen, you know what? We need to be focused in our vision. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, as soon as we get our focus off of this, we start doing this. Amen. Hey, listen, this is right here. We've got our focus right here. Focus on the things of God. Focus on seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Focus on setting our affections on things above. Amen. We need to have a firm vision. We need to have a forward vision. We need to have a focused vision. And you know what else we need to have? We need to have a future vision. A future vision. It's a little different from the forward vision. Go to John chapter 4, verse 35, please. John chapter 4, verse 35. John chapter 4, verse 35. And we see Jesus dealing with His disciples here. Many times they just didn't get it. And can we say, with the disciples, sometimes we just don't get it, and all God's people said, it's okay, I say it with you, amen and amen to for me. Sometimes we just don't get it. And so Jesus here says to them in verse 35, Say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look, cast your vision. Why? For they're white already to harvest. What's a future vision? Just a couple things. You know what a future vision is? Eternity for everyone. Everyone is going to spend eternity somewhere, whether you witness to them or not. The Bible says in Matthew 25:46, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous to life eternal. Hey, may God give us a future vision that everyone we pass by is going to spend eternity in heaven or hell.
I'll tell you what, we'll have trouble keeping tracks in that rack if every one of us had that kind of vision. Because you know what? You say, hey, the least I can do is give them an invite. Hey, I'm so glad. I've said this many times, and I hope you don't tire of hearing it. I'm so glad that a coworker of mine had the spiritual decency to give me two gospel tracts. It's the reason I'm pastoring today. He had the spiritual decency to have a future vision and say, that young man's headed for an eternity in hell, and God put me in his path to do something about it. You've got friends you can witness to. You've got neighbors you can witness to. You've got loved ones, and I know they're the hardest ones to witness to. But listen, they're going to spend eternity somewhere. God, give us a future vision for that. God, give us a future vision for personal accounting. The fact that, ladies and gentlemen, we will stand all alone before Jesus Christ and give an account for the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. I don't know about you, that motivates me. It frightens me, and it should. That's the fear of God, amen? The fact that I don't want to disappoint God. I want to please God with my life. And the fact that we're going to each give it a personal account, and God give us a future vision for that, because one day it's going to happen. We're going to stand before God, and He's going to call our name. We're going to have to give an account. Not only a personal accounting and eternity for everyone, can I say this? A future vision, and I mention it, and I won't stay long on it, would encourage us to sow bountifully. I give to missions. And I promise you, it's not a... There's people in this church that really sacrifice to give $10 to missions. Amen. I believe this. Everybody ought to give to missions. I'll mention it during our missions conference. Our theme this year is so much the more. You know why? Because the world's not getting smaller and less people aren't dying going to hell. More are. So much the more we could meet in church and give to missions and all that. But you know why I give to missions? I'll tell you why. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Can I say this, and I'm not being trite, ladies and gentlemen, some of the easiest rewards that you and I will ever earn go in the offering plate every Sunday. I used to say that, Brother Dave, about starting the bus on Sunday mornings. I get out there early and start it up for Brother Curry. And I used to drive, and I used to start it up, and I look over at another brother and said, well, here come the rewards, brother. Just starting it up and picking up kids, amen. Some of you teach Sunday school. Hey, you know what? That's sowing. Amen. My children are in your class. That's sowing. Oh, we ought to be sowing bountifully. Why? Because we'll reap bountifully. I take a lot of flack from preachers about my voicemail. If you've ever left me a voicemail, you get the gospel from Leviticus to Revelation in my voicemail. Amen. I mean, it's just huge and it's long. And Brother Ouellette called me one time. He said, this is R.B. Ouellette, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Bridgeport at 2400 King Road in Saginaw, Michigan. Phone number. And he began to give me a social security number and Visa card and all that. He was making fun of me. But I'll tell you what I always have in my voicemail. John 3:16. Do you know lost people call and leave me voicemails? You know what we do? We sow bountifully. Hey, you know what? If we've got future vision, we'll sow bountifully. If we've got future vision, we'll know that we're going to give a personal account. If we've got future vision, we'll know that eternity is for everyone. And can I say this lastly about future vision? Focus vision, forward vision, firm vision. The last thing about future vision is be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if, and that's a big if, ye faint not. Ladies and gentlemen, I know preachers since the dawn of the church age have been preaching that Jesus is coming again. And I believe He is. Just as much as they did. But can I tell you, if they believed it, in the first century, how much closer are we? I would hate to give up running the race just before He comes back. Hey, listen, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Be not weary in well-doing. Hey, we get weary. Amen? We get tired. Be not weary in well-doing. Keep at it. Keep at it. Why? Because He's going to come.
Ladies and gentlemen, God give us some spiritual optometry. God give us a firm vision right here. We're going to keep preaching it. We're going to keep proclaiming it. We're not going to apologize for it. Amen. We're not going to compromise to bring a crowd in. Amen. We're not going to do, we're going to have a firm vision. We're going to have a forward vision. We're going to keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. We're going to keep pressing forward. We're going to have a focused vision, zoning in on what God wants us to do. And we're going to have a future vision. And if we do that, I promise you, God will bless our church. Father, we love you.